What is it about a shape, albeit a pyramid or a circle or whatever you have to use, but what is it about this shape that draws energy out of the universe? Why?
You know, this is the perfect place to start with Joe Parr's research, because he found only a pyramid shape would produce this energy field. And what to answer your question is that Joe believes, because of this pyramid shape, we don't know why this happens, but it traps a theoretical particle known as a mass particle. And we're not 100% sure of this, but there's a certain particle that the pyramid shape attracts where other shapes do not. And this particle then shields itself with a field. Again, a lot of this is still speculative, but the point being is that the pyramid shape itself can produce an energy field around it. And but sometimes it's stronger than other times. And the whole point of Joe Parr's research was he figured out in a laboratory how to increase this pyramid energy field that pyramids normally would have that are almost you couldn't measure. And then he could conduct experiments on it. So that's kind of the answer to your question. And why does it trap these particles, which then produce these fields? You know, we don't know. That's a big mystery. Is there some kind of universal significance in the shape of a pyramid? And the answer probably is yes.
When did Joe Parr do this, and is he still alive?
Actually, Joe's been doing this for over 30 years.
And he's still with us?
Yeah, he is, and he's still going strong. You know, if I could just take a minute to tell you about Joe. Because,
sure. By the way, any relation to the late Jack Parr?
You know, I always mention that because, George, I used to be a drummer, and I played with Jose Nellis for a short period
You're
of time.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, Jose Nellis used to be the band leader of the original Jack Parr show. So when I first met Joe, that was my first question. I said, hey, you know, any relationship to Jack?
And what did he say?
He wasn't related.
Oh, okay, good. I thought you were going to keep us in suspense for a moment.
But you know where Joe first learned about pyramids when he was a young boy, he met George Van Tassel and George Adamski at Giant Rock.
Okay, George Adamski of the Venetian.
Yeah, actually, I think it was just George Van Tassel. I'm not sure. That was his main contact, you know, and they used to have meetings down there. And that's when he first heard about pyramid power as a young boy, and I guess it attracted his interest. But I got to tell you a little bit about Joe, because when I tell you about the results of his experiment.
Yeah, give us his credentials.
Yeah. Joe, by the way, has over 40 years' experience in electronics and electrical engineering, and he's a field engineer, and he was involved in like 8 government top-secret projects. He was in Greenland, the South Pole, Palmer Station, Antarctica. He's also inventor of the gamma-ray transducer. That sounds like something out of science fiction, but it's a device for measuring radioactivity using gamma rays. He's one of the only few people that have spent 2 nights on top of the Great Pyramid, one in 1977 and one in 1987, measuring electromagnetic, radioactive, and all kinds of experiments all night long. You know, he had to sneak up there, of course. You know?
You're right.
And he also has a law degree. I mean, this guy's just incredible. He works currently for an oceanographic company doing making transducers. And this was kind of his hobby for over 30 years, 30, 40 years. He's been researching the effects of this energy field, and he has an incredible logbook. So again, Joe is has just incredible credentials. I have the highest respect for him. He hates when I say this, but I really believe Joe may go down as the modern day Tesla. He's also done experiments with ley lines and may be one of the first investigators to know actually how to measure those. But I don't want to get too far off. That's why I said there's just so many interesting things, but. So what Joe discovered was that there is this energy field. We call it an orb or a bubble. So, you know, whether I say energy field or bubble, it's just like a circle that it engulfs the whole pyramid. So what he did was he used small pyramids, model pyramids, in his laboratory, and he found out by spinning them in a high-powered centrifuge through an alternating electric and magnetic field, he can energize the energy field around the pyramid.
More so than it had originally.
Right, because, you know, you just put a model pyramid on the table, there's this energy field, but it's negligible.
Okay.
And what's interesting is that this energy field, by the way, does vary with some very interesting solar phenomena. But what Joe did was, so he by putting this pyramid in a magnetic field and spinning it, he found out this energy field is produced. So now what he did was he put in certain different materials, like he put in radioactive materials in the pyramid, and then spun it with the centrifuge to produce the orb. And guess what? The electromagnetic, the radioactivity was kind of attenuated. It was filtered, and not all of it passed through the bubble.
And it should have.
It should have, right. And also he put in like electromagnetic sources, even radio frequency sources, magnetic sources. All these things were blocked by the orb, depending on how strong the energy field was. So let's say the energy field wasn't really strong. It may only block at 10%. If it was stronger, it could block at 50%. So he has, you know, direct scientific confirmation that this energy field, you talk about a military application, you know.
It's like a force field.
Yeah, it could block all known types of electromagnetic radiation.
I wonder if it could also block incoming objects, physical objects. I wonder if he did experiments with that.
Well, it's possible, because what he finds out is that at certain times of the year, the bubble completely closes off, and no form of electromagnetic radiation or energy that we know escapes through the bubble. It completely closes off, a complete shield. And he believes at this time the pyramid enters hyperspace. It goes into another dimension, because what happens is the pyramid kind of flies off the apparatus. And in brief measurements, it tends to appear that the pyramid is weightless and may not actually be in our physical three-dimensional universe. So this is where
you mean while it's spinning, it may be in another dimension.
Yeah, yeah. This is kind of controversial. Not all the people that have looked at his work agree to this, but it appears that the bubble, when it closes off, the weight of the pyramid becomes zero. It goes it basically disappears in our three-dimensional world, because what he has done is, he measured it when it reappears, and it reappears with such a high velocity and momentum. His equations show that it most likely probably entered hyperspace.
I wonder if you can travel through time with this.
He thinks you can. He thinks you can, and that's a possible application of some of this work.
Are you saying that the pyramids may very well be huge time machines?
Yeah, I mean... I don't know for sure, but I mean, the results of some of his experiments may tend to indicate that.
My.
Joe believes that you may be able to solve the mystery of who built the pyramids by doing this, you know. It gets a little more complicated than this, because he finds out that his this energy field varies with the sunspot cycle. And you know when this bubble closes off? It only closes off at certain times of the year. And it only closes off and enters hyperspace. This is just incredible. When the Earth passes through a particle conduit from the Sun that goes in the direction of the constellation Orion.